Welcome to Black Girl in CLE, the podcast. I am your host, Shayna Black, and in each episode, my special guest and I will talk about local events, the topic of access in Cleveland, and sometimes we'll just talk about some cool people who are doing cool things in the greater Cleveland area. I'll introduce you to this week's guest right after this. Hey, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Black Girl in the CLE podcast. Today, my guest is Wendy Horn from Locality. Say hello, Wendy.
Hi.
Wendy, before we start, just introduce yourself. Tell Cleveland a little bit and the rest of the podcast world, whoever may be picking this up, a little bit about Wendy.
Okay. Well, thank you. First, I'd like to thank you for having me today on your show. And next, again, so my name is Wendy Horn, and a little bit about myself. There's so much to Wendy. I am a part-time entrepreneur. I own Locality. And Locality, we offer a little bit of everything. So my business offers natural body products. I specialize in sugar scrubs, salt scrubs, whipped shea butters, lip balms, things like that. Early 2018, we launched a t-shirt line, so we're also delving into that business. The premise of Locality is we also specialize in pushing and encouraging other local businesses. So if there's a local business out there, a part of my business is also offering support, whether that's through purchasing their items, supporting their items, networking, and really just showcasing all of the small businesses out there.
So you said in 2018, you started the t-shirt line. When did Locality start?
Locality actually started back in roughly 2007. The name Locality was birthed in 2007.
Okay.
Locality didn't really start going into effect until 2013.
I love stories like this. Mm-hmm. So from 2007, when the name came up, to 2013, what was happening? Nothing? Just like, oh, here's a great idea? Or were you actually putting things together?
From 2007 to 2013, Wendy was stuck. I was absolutely stuck. So the name came about in 2007 because someone had actually spoken into my life.
Nice.
Someone spoken into my life. I was at a women's retreat program. I was invited by a coworker through my full-time job.
Okay.
And while I was there, young lady, a prophetess actually spoke into my life and said that God said that I was going to be a business owner.
Nice.
And he specifically told her multiple businesses, one being a boutique. At that time, I actually had no thoughts or desires, plans to become a business owner. So I was kind of like, okay, well, this is nice. I mean, I love shopping. I love supporting people. I love boutiques, but it wasn't really a desire that I had of my own.
Did you believe her?
Ooh, that's a whole nother podcast right there. So I will tell you quickly, there was a series of events to happen that day and even prior to that leading up to the event to where I didn't think I was going to be able to make it. And so then the morning of, I was going, picking my mom up and my friend, and we were just all super late. And it was like all of these distractions, anything that could go wrong that morning, it was going. So when we get there, we're like super late. We sit down, we like creep in very quietly to the back of the church. And during the program, the young lady who was actually speaking at one point had began telling her own life story and testimony and how she was also a part-time entrepreneur with many different businesses. And there were probably about maybe roughly 12 to like 15 of us there. And I'll never forget, I was sitting in the back pew in the middle between my mom and my friend. And the young lady comes up from the front of the church to the back. And she started saying, God said, one of you is going to be a business owner. And so as she's walking back, she slides in the pew right in front of me, and she puts her face so close to me. And I always tell this story like this just so people could understand like how close she was, because I'm thinking, oh my God, I am so glad this lady's breath does not smell, because this is how close she came to my face. And she just stopped and she looked at me and she pointed and she said, God said, some of you are going to be a business owner. And she walked out, and then she walked back up to the front and carried on with what she said. So I was like, okay, I don't know what this is about. Moving on to the later end of the program, she began praying for people, and then that's when she gave me the official word, just saying it again. Okay. So I won't say I didn't believe her. It was something that was new. That was the first time anybody had ever spoken into my life like that. So I think I was definitely in a season of just expectancy. Like, okay, well, let's see what's going to happen with this, God.
So did you walk out and think, okay, now I got to go start a business? Or did you just kind of go back to work on Monday? And
a little bit of both.
Okay.
A little bit of both. There was a whole lot of... okay, so where's this business? I got to start this business. Well, what am I going to do? And, you know, well, she said boutique. Well, I guess maybe I could, and I could do it like this, and I could do it like that. And then it was like, but you still have bills, so you're going to work. You're going to go to your 8 to 4 as a social worker to save these children. A part of the problem, you did ask from 2007 to 2013, what happened? And one of the things that I struggle with, and sometimes I find myself still struggling with this, is I was in this deep period of, is this a business that I want to do? Is this a business that I am just creating because she gave me this word? Or is this a business really ordained by God and what He has already implemented for my life? And so that has been a constant struggle, specifically between 2007 to 2013. Because I wasn't really sure. There were a lot of times, and I've always been a creative person. So even prior to her giving me the word, I've just, ever since I was a little girl, I've always been very creative. I've always liked, whether it was cooking, from crafts to making things to just creating, whatever. I find it very relaxing, but it has always been a struggle because I felt like I didn't want to force a business.
Okay. So what happened in 2013? When you said you started in 2013, like what happened?
Yes, in 2013, I began with sugar scrubs. It was something I just wanted to see if I could make for myself. Personal hobby, Pinterest. And it just all began with that. And from there, that's literally how the locality Natural Body Products has taken off. It literally began with things that I wanted to create for myself, and it just kind of caught on like wildfire.
So we're going to get to 2018 because that's, to me, right, I think where my story intersects your story and what brings us here today.
Yes.
But when you first started making your sugar scrubs, like, did you sell them? Did you just give them out to friends and family? Like, how did you said your business started there. What were you doing?
I started with giving them to friends and family. So that is how I started. And I remember specifically because I wanted to do something different for Christmas. I was also low on money at this point. Mm-hmm. And I'm a big giver. And so I love giving. I love surprising people, particularly with my parents and with my siblings, because there are 5 children. And so I'm go big or go home with gifts. And so I still wanted to do something nice for them. And so I made everybody gift packages, gift baskets with my sugar scrubs. Nice. And it went off from there. My family absolutely loved them. And that was even a little tricky part too, because, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, do they really love them? Or do they love them because I'm making them and they have to tell me that they love them? But no, they absolutely love them to today. I still make them. They still call me for them. I ship them to my family because most of them are not here in Cleveland anymore. But that's how it started.
So how were you selling them? Were you like shipping, internet? What were you doing to sell them from outside of your family?
So outside of my family, it really was just my friends. It was coworkers. It was just kind of like, hey, ooh, I made this for myself. Or people would see me or like touch my skin. And they're like, ooh, your skin is so soft. What are you doing? And I'm like, oh, by the way, you know, I just started making this sugar scrub. And so with my friends, that's kind of how it started. And it's like, ooh, I'd like to try some. Make me some. So from giving them a sample to like giving them some, it took on from there with them as to, I'd like to purchase some.
Nice.
So with my friends, and again, they're some of my best customers. They're constantly buying them. So as far as orders from other people, that's really just kind of started taking off outside of my close family and friends, I would say within the last maybe 2 years.
Okay. So let's fast forward to 2018. Okay. With the t-shirts. And I met you at our first pop-up shop. I ran into you at the first pop-up shop, and you were saying, I set a goal for myself. Mm-hmm. Was it last year, 2017?
Going into 2018.
Yep.
Yes.
So tell us what the goal was and how did you make it?
Yeah. So the goal that I set for myself in 2018 was to put a t-shirt out there and mm-hmm. to sell it. The reason I made that goal for myself is because I have walked around with my cell phone for years in my notes section with tons of t-shirt ideas. Again, I'm a very creative person, so I walk around and I'm constantly making notes of things that I would like to do, whether it's related to scents, to different businesses, to t-shirts, just whatever it is, things I'd like to try. And for a lot of different reasons, I don't always go through with those things.
Okay.
Call it procrastination, call it life.
We're going to talk about that in a minute when we go to our next section.
A lot of different things. So 2018, I told myself in January, I said, Wendy, you have to put a t-shirt out. And whether it does good or bad, just put it out. A part of it was the fear of failing and it not doing well and not really knowing. And I spent so much time on trying to have things perfect that I missed the opportunity. And I was kind of getting a little sick of my own self.
Right.
And so that was my goal. Put a t-shirt out. And then I had to make it even more specific for myself because I know myself. And I said, no, you have to have this t-shirt out by the end of January. So.
And you did.
That's when the t-shirt line was birthed. Yes.
And didn't you have a, or correct me if I'm wrong, a goal about doing pop-up shops too?
Yes. So there were a couple of different like personal goals for myself. I wanted to get myself out there. I wanted to get locality out there because from 2013 up until roughly 2017, 2018, locality had been something that only really my family and friends knew about. A few other people here and there, but not mainstream, just more family and friends. And so I really wanted to focus on, okay, now is the time if I'm going to do this to start pushing myself. So I had another goal, which was to enter into some pop-up shops or some craft shows. I wanted to do something in 2018 to get myself out there, to give myself an opportunity to interact with the community, other business owners, and to get locality out there just to see how it would do.
And you did your two pop-up shops?
I did my two pop-up shops. The first one I did was actually July 2018, and that was Art Walk in the Park.
Mm-hmm.
And that was amazing. That was the first one I did. And I did that actually, I think it was 2 or 3 days before I was actually going out of town to New Orleans.
Oh, wow.
For my sororities conference. So I had a whole lot of stuff to get ready between locality and packing, but I pulled it off. It was amazing. I had such an amazing time. It was amazing. The weather was extremely hot, but I am thankful probably for hot weather than I am for cold and rainy weather.
Right.
But it was great. I really enjoyed it. And of course, my second pop-up shop was actually, I attended your pop-up shop. Yes, which was in December. Again, another great opportunity. The ambiance was awesome. I got to interact with some other local business owners. I got my name out there. And so it was a really great opportunity.
So before we start talking about the second, because I really want to get to the point of the second pop-up shop and forward. Because for me, just kind of watching you through social media, that's where the growth, like, it seems like you've just grown so much.
Oh, thank you.
In that moment. But what lessons did you learn from the first pop-up shop that translated to the second pop-up shop, if any?
So, yes. So, first pop-up shop to the second, it was certainly a reminder that I have to push myself and stay out there. So, even from the first pop-up shop, which was July, I believe, 13 of 2018, and then the second pop-up shop, yours was December, I believe, 8th, mm-hmm. that was still roughly about 5 months. And so, I did have to have some conversation with myself where, on one end, while I was proud of myself for doing both of them, I'm thinking, like, Wendy, you could have done more pop-up shops in between this time, just to be consistent.
Right.
But I wasn't too hard on myself because it was still a goal just to at least get two in for the year. And one of the things that I definitely learned was, number one, the logistics of like how much product to bring, what type of product. When I did the first pop-up shop, I brought so much product. I was up until 2 o'clock in the morning, the night before, like whipping things up in the kitchen, in the lab. I wanted it fresh. And when you're talking about natural body products, they're best when they're fresh. Right. And so that's one of the things that I pride myself on, is when I do make orders, when people request orders, I make them fresh. I don't like products to just lie around and it's stale. And so I wanted to bring everything and all the scents. And it was like, what are you doing? Like, you can't do this. So by the second pop-up shop, that was definitely something I learned, to kind of tone it down a little bit. Just bring a little bit, make it enticing for your customers, and they'll come back.
Right.
What I have is great. My tablescapes are great. And so the tablescape always draws people in. And then once they get there and I have samples out and then they see the product, I don't have to have everything that I offer there. And so that was definitely a big lesson.
I agree. Your table setup was amazing for someone who, that was only their second or so pop-up shop, I thought. So,
thank you.
Kudos for that. That was the one thing I think even I was surprised at, because I knew that you were new to this.
Right.
And I know my first trade show pop-up shop kind of thing, it was just like, oh, I need a tablecloth?
Right.
Oh, I should do this? And so not understanding that. Mm-hmm. So let's switch from that last pop-up shop in December. So here we are in March. I'm like, what month is this? March.
Yes.
And I remember that when you did the first, that pop-up shop in December with us, you were still using your personal social media.
Yes.
For locality and all things Wendy. Mm-hmm. And it was within, I think, I want to say like a couple of days, that all of a sudden, like, locality now follows you. That kind of thing.
Right.
So, you know, what changed or what prompted that?
I have some great family and friends. And actually, a few months before your pop-up shop, I actually had one of my friends, because people would actually ask me all the time, do you have a website? Do you have a social media page? You know, things about my business. And I'm always like, no, not yet. And for me, it was really because this was something that was still just a hobby. It was a hobby that had kind of taken off, but not enough. I really hadn't transitioned to the point of business at that point. And so really it was just kind of like, well, I don't really need that stuff. People can just contact me.
Just call me. I'll make something for you.
Oh, you need 5 of them. Don't worry about it. Just shoot me a text. I'll have it for you. And actually one of my friends had been asking me for a while, and she actually created the Instagram page for me. Well, lo and behold, she created it. She didn't tell me.
Okay.
And it's kind of like, okay. Then she forgot the password. And so there was nothing. It was just kind of sitting out there for a long time. By the time I did the second pop-up shop in December, I started to transition to, if you're going to do this, you have to start getting serious about it. And I remember having some conversations with friends, and even just kind of like reading some things, watching YouTube videos, and really making that connection. And I remember one of my friends had told me, who is also a business owner, a new business owner at that, and we were talking about Instagram pages and social media pages. And one of the things that she told me that I really appreciated was, my social media page for a locality is not Wendy.
Right.
And so locality can be whoever locality needs to be with locality's audience.
Right.
And I think that was the click for me. And I think prior to that, because everything was going off of my page, I felt like, well, the people who will order locality or who locality will service will be based off of the people who I'm connected to. And so I wasn't, for what it's worth, really believing in myself enough to know that I could go beyond that audience.
Right. I think for me, I say like your business is kind of like a child, and you're kind of wondering what it's going to turn out to be.
Right.
So even with Black Girl, you know, it went through the newborn stage, like, oh, look, I got this thing happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's kind of grown, and it's, you know, it's the toddler where it falls down a little bit, and it's really just watching your business kind of grow up and mature. And like you said, your audience might not be Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun to see, sometimes kind of stressful to watch, that although your audience may not be Wendy, your audience expects Wendy to be locality.
Right.
And so just kind of that transition and is always interesting to me to watch and see how that works out.
Absolutely.
So let's fast forward, and we're going to kind of do something different, because I want to talk about, you know, I think locality and all that you're doing is amazing, but you and I also just went on this journey.
Yes.
Of mindset work and coaching.
Oh, yes.
And was that your first experience with coaching? Like business coaching?
Business coaching, yes.
Okay, so we did a month with Nando at Nandoism, and didn't know what to expect.
Not at all.
Doing a group session.
Right.
I was referred to it by someone, and they were like, oh my goodness, it's so good. And they told me, and I'll tell you this because you went through it, and I didn't know what we were getting into.
Okay.
It was like, set a goal for yourself, you want what you want to accomplish in a month. And that's all it really is. You mm-hmm. just set this goal, and in a month, you'll do your goal. Well, okay, like accountability buddies. Oh, okay, that sounds right. great. And I don't know if you feel the same way, but I feel like coaching was way more than set a goal and get there.
Oh, absolutely.
So we go through this experience week by week, and every Saturday we checked in with each other. And, you know, the first week it was about unpacking the mindset and the point of view.
Right.
What were you thinking about that?
I had so many thoughts. So in the beginning, I don't know. I was like, okay, just do it. Like, what is it going to hurt?
And it was free. Because he was
free.
He was doing a session. You know, he was giving back to the community.
Right. It was free. I figured, what is it going to hurt? You can only learn something from this. And then there's a part of me that was like, well, this is a month. Do I really want to commit to this? And it was just this battle with myself. Then I went back to, but it's free. Just do it. And just take what you can from it. So that was that. So the second part for me, I have to tell you. So professionally, my background is I have a master's in marriage and family therapy counseling. I have also done like life improvement coaching as well. So the interesting thing for me is when you are in a business, when you are counseling people and when you are coaching people, and of course, coaches have coaches, counselors have right. counselors and things like that. But very rarely, for a lot of reasons, do I find myself in the position for people to assist me as far as like accountability and setting goals and just kind of like really speaking into my life and having me to dig deeper and challenge me.
Right.
And let me tell you. I got all of that and then some from Nando. So it was amazing. That is like all I can say. It was so much more, like you said, than just the setting a goal.
And checking in on it.
And checking in. It was like what I really gained from it, which I really appreciate, is how I get stuck
mm-hmm.
and why I get stuck.
And noticing that you get stuck.
And absolutely noticing. And I think it's those things that, at least for myself, that I'm aware of. I'm very self-aware, but self-awareness can only go so far when you're not talking about it with people. So I'm self-aware, but if I keep it to myself, it's like, well, what does it really matter?
Right.
Or am I really doing something about it? But through this coaching process, bringing it out to the forefront and having to talk about it, and it's like, wait a minute, hold on. Oh my gosh. But I'll tell you, I found so much comfort in knowing that I wasn't in that stuck place by myself.
Right. I think for me going through that process, I mean, I shed some tears, and it was tears of growth.
Me
and
as
noticing
well.
That I am growing in this process.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you this story that yesterday, and you'll laugh because no one else would get this story. I'm doing a presentation. I'm on a panel and I'm speaking, and I was supposed to do a live demonstration, and nothing went right.
Okay.
Like, the mics weren't picking up, the projector was jacked up, like, everything went wrong. And I got through it, and I'm like, well, it's not working, but I got through it. You know, anyway, that's how easy it would be. Here's what you would do. Thank you, when I sit down. And as we were wrapping up, I wanted to apologize. And I thought about the moment where we were talking about how your point of view or your mindset will make you, you know, everybody had moved past that moment of my fail
right.
of this demonstration, but in my mind, it was still haunting me. And so at the last second, when they're like, you know, anything else to close, I just wanted to be like, I'm sorry it didn't
right.
work.
Right.
And thanks to Nando's story, about, like, his, you know, he told his story about how he did interject that, I'm sure you're wondering,
and got defensive,
and
they
were like, we had forgotten all about that issue.
Right.
So that was one of those, I mean, I was literally on the stage in front of all these, a ballroom of people just kind of chuckling, mm-hmm. journalists, and I'm just chuckling like, I almost did this. Right. I almost did this.
Right.
So what did you learn? Like I said, you learned about sticking to it, and you know, coaches have coaches, but sometimes coaches don't do well with coaches, because I do the same thing. I consult people. I help people with mindset work. So to get someone to work with your mind, mm-hmm. you've got to really be open to that.
Absolutely.
So what are you doing now to get unstuck?
So what I'm doing now to get unstuck. So every week that we met, I don't know if everyone could see during our video conference call, but I always had my notebook. Mm-hmm. And so I would jot down notes and things like that, specifically that Nando, things that he would say, and other people as well. When we had the one guy, Rich, on there, mm-hmm. I definitely wrote down a lot of stuff that he said. I find myself now doing much more research as it relates to whether it's just business in general or the creativity side. I'm allowing myself now, a part of me getting unstuck is just research. Mm-hmm. And even though it seems something like that is just very small, it's helping me to continue to go, keeping my mind going. Whereas before, it was just like, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to, you know, no, that's for them. That's for this person. I can't do this. And knowing full well that I'm fully capable of doing it, and I'm worthy of doing it, but just allowing myself to stay in that stuck moment.
Right.
So one of the things that I gained the most from this was just being around like-minded people. And that's helped me the most, I would say, to just being unstuck.
I think for me, it was the ability to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. So the thing I got stuck with was the post every week. And I am going through coaching. Here's what I'm mentally working through. Because Black girl in CLE has a certain, to me, image. It's its own thing. And okay. So while Shayna is struggling with blank, Black girl does not struggle with these things.
Right.
And so trying to figure out a way to do the post where it's inspiring. We talk about the coaching. We talk about all those pieces that needed to be said in that post, or I wanted to come across in that post. Mm-hmm. But also, like, you go back to your other point of Wendy is not locality. Locality is not Wendy.
Right.
I was struggling with that.
Right.
In that space. But it was amazing, mm-hmm. for me to go through that experience. And even, like you said, the supporting people. So to know that there's someone in Argentina or wherever in the world,
right.
Colombia, that's like rooting me on.
Mm-hmm.
That was just, you know.
It was amazing. Or to see everybody, how everybody was so excited about their own projects. That's what gave me fuel.
Right.
To see that so many other people who were out here, who were everyday, you know, just working people like myself, or stay-at-home moms, or part-time entrepreneurs, or full-time entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. but they were still struggling and still had the same life issues and problems, and they were like, well, I'm going to carve out this time to work on this, and I'm excited, or, ooh, I got this done, or I got this done.
Right.
And for me, that fueled that fire to say, you can do it too.
Right. I think I also learned about, like, my original breakdown. We had to break down what our goal was in 4 weeks. And mm-hmm. it was, like, easy. I'm going to do 4 things. I'm going to do 1 each week.
Right.
Done. And then I think, like, week 3, of course, it was toward the end, I'm like, oh, I needed to break this down a little bit.
Right.
And this is what I've been telling people, though, since Nando's our group chat, was, what can you do in 24 hours?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the question that I ask myself. What can I do in 24 hours? So yes, this is so overwhelming, and oh my goodness, how am I going to get this done? Okay, mm-hmm. So what can I do toward this goal in the next 24 hours?
Right.
And even if it's make a phone call, I'll allow myself the grace that if all I can do today is make a phone call because I'm feeling anxious or sad, or look at all these other people are doing on social media,
mm-hmm.
I'm okay because I did something.
Right.
So that was what was amazing for me. Do you think that the coaching will expand your business?
Well, that's a good question. Eventually, yes. Eventually, yes. And I think so, because it certainly gave me an opportunity to just be aware. So because I'm able to put a name to when I get stuck now, when I get to that point of getting stuck, I can go back to, you know, my mental psyche or to my notes and say, this is why you're stuck. Come out of here. I can go back to and change or reframe what I'm getting stuck on. So if it's a negative mindset, if it's something that I'm going through, I can now go back and say, speak something positive. Or I can choose to, in that moment, how we would talk about creating a new possibility. Mm-hmm. So I think overall, moving forward in the future, this coaching will definitely benefit my business because of that, but because I think it's an ongoing process.
Right. Would you continue coaching even if it's not with Nano, but seek other opportunities for coaching?
I would, because again, I feel like we all need someone to help keep us accountable. And especially when you're the person who is holding other people accountable. So again, I have experience as being a coach, and this was all what I did. You know, helping people to establish goals. And that type of coaching that I did was, again, like I said, it was more like life enhancement. So whatever my clients wanted to work on. So whether that was losing weight, whether that was changing their image. I had clients who just wanted to dress up and they didn't know how. Whether that was starting a business, moving out of state. And we would literally sit down and we would work on those goals. Okay, so what does it look like? And we would work backwards. So tell me what your ultimate goal is. And then from that point, I would take them backwards, mm-hmm. up into the very first step that they need to do. And they would have homework. And I was their accountability partner. And we would check in with each other. So how's this going? And what happened? And what are the barriers? But I feel like more times than not, when you're the person who does that, it's almost impossible sometimes to then have time or the energy to do it for yourself.
Mm-hmm. I would always say... like you're pouring into vessels, and sometimes the vessels like have holes in them or cracks. So you keep pouring into these vessels, and because you're so busy pouring into the vessels, you don't stop to get poured into. Absolutely. Or there's not a lot of people that can pour into you.
Absolutely.
So I think that's one of the things. And talking about self-care, mm-hmm. for coaches and consultants is who helps you.
Absolutely.
So that's going to be my question, and I had written it down before, so it was a perfect time to get there. What inspires you, or how do you stay inspired to keep moving forward?
How do I stay inspired? Ooh, that's a good question.
Are you reading stuff? Are you talking to people?
I am definitely, I definitely try to, I don't read as much as I should. I have plenty of books that are sitting on my nightstand right now that are on my to-do list to read.
So what's on your to-do list?
So I have a Michelle Obama book that I have not started. Mm-hmm. I actually have the book, You're a Badass at Making Money, yes. that I have not gotten beyond the first chapter. And then there's another book. I can't remember the name of it offhand. I actually just picked that one up. So there's definitely some reading. So how I stay inspired actually is every day, particularly Monday through Friday, but every day when I get up in the morning while I'm getting ready for work, I have something inspirational on. I have my 2 to 3 people that I go to. I always turn on YouTube. And whether I listen to inspirational music, more times than not, I am either listening to T.D. Jakes, mm-hmm. or Les Brown.
Mm. I'm laughing because I have a whole playlist.
Yes. Them. So between those two, and there are some other people, you know, that I will listen to as well. I like Zig Ziglar, Tony Robbins, and then I'll throw in some other like inspirational spiritual pastors and things in there. Because for me, I feel like the best way to start my day is through positivity. Mm-hmm. Having someone speak into my life, having good thoughts, positive affirmations for me to go forth for that day. And if I can keep myself motivated or just start my day like that, that sets the tone for my day. The other thing is, which I got from the group, it was a reinforcement, is just creating networks of people who are doing what I'm doing. And for me, that's the biggest motivator, to call them and say, hey, let me bounce this idea off of you. Or, hey, like, you know, what do you have going on? And again, when I hear them say that they have something going on and that they're working, that's a reminder for me, get your butt up and you need to get to working.
So the question I'm wondering, and it's just a question, because you started with your friends and your family, and now you're growing and you're going down the entrepreneurship lane, I would say, as opposed to just like, I'm just making stuff. It's no longer a hobby. You're starting to see the viability.
Yes.
How often are you still relying on friends and family for input and guidance, or are you kind of working in creating this business circle to help you through?
I believe that I've transitioned to the business circle now. So my friends and family, they're definitely my cheerleaders, mm-hmm. but I'm definitely transitioning to the business circle to say, okay, what does this look like to be an actual business now? Because this has taken on a face more than just a hobby now.
Right. Okay. I know I overheard, I think it was Tyler Perry speaking, and he was talking about there came a time where I had to even change who does my taxes. So, mm-hmm. like, he went to the cousin who always did his taxes, but now, like, I'm starting to have real deductions. I'm starting to have real business expenses, that, you know,
right.
Schedule A's and Schedule C's. And he said, and you know, not that she couldn't do stuff, but I needed some real help. And it comes a point, I think, where, like you said, your friends and family become the cheerleaders,
right.
but they've not gone down that road.
Right.
And so I always try to find someone that's at least a couple steps ahead of me.
Right.
Not too far gone, and just, you know,
right.
pick up whatever nuggets that they're willing to give me.
Absolutely. And it's work. About, I for me, it goes back to, again, what locality even stands for. Locality is the local person. And not just local to Cleveland, but local to Detroit, local to Philadelphia, local to the Bahamas. That just local person in whatever town, city, state, municipality they're in, that's working towards a goal. And so for me, it's the reciprocity of speaking into each other.
Okay.
You know, encouraging each other, networking with each other.
So more than just products.
More than just products. More than just products, because I feel like, what good is it if I make it and I don't go back to help anybody else?
Right.
What good is it if the next person makes it and they don't come back and help me?
Okay. Very cool. So as we wrap up, are you doing pop-up shops this year?
That is the goal. That is the goal, to do pop-up shops this year. I actually just ran into the organizer for the painting in the park in Tremont. The pop-up shop that I did last year. So I did actually just this past week. So I'm going to say yes. I'm going to speak that into existence and say yes, because I saw her last week and I told her I'd be interested in being a vendor again.
Yeah. Any other places you're looking at, or are you just waiting to see what's
out? Just waiting to see what's coming out there. I haven't really seen yet. That probably needs to go on my things to do list to start searching for some pop-up shops. So.
Okay, so tell me how people can find you on social media.
Social media, Locality is on Instagram at Locality Cle, and that is LOCALITYCLE. And you can also reach us by email, localitycle@gmail.com.
And they can DM you if they're interested in products?
Absolutely. If you ever want to an order, you can DM me on Instagram or shoot me an email.
Perfect. Final question, since we're talking business.
Yes.
What is, for an aspiring entrepreneur or someone that has a really great hobby, talk to them. What would you tell them?
What would I tell an inspiring
or that maybe, like you said, you set years with this mm-hmm. idea. What could you tell them to inspire them to cut their time down?
I would say to just go for it. Don't be afraid to fail. And speaking to my younger self, I wish that there was somebody who I had to tell me, just do it. And if you fail, that's okay. If you don't make it, it's okay, but give it a try. I've met a lot of people along the way. I've had fun along the way. I've learned a lot of things. And I feel like when you are truly passionate about the work that you do, whatever it is, whether it's selling body products, whether it's speaking to people, whether it's making clothes, whatever it is, I feel like if you're passionate about it, then it's okay. It's less about the money, we find out. The money is something that comes with it. But I would say go for it. Just give it a try. You don't know.
Anything that I didn't ask that you wanted to make sure that you touched on or shared with our folks?
Reach out to me and buy my products.
That's perfect. So thank you so much for sitting in and coming in and doing this
at last minute. I appreciate being here. Thank you very much.
I knew that we had a story. Like I said, we intersected, then you did the event, and then we went on this journey together.
Yes.
So, like, what a great story to tell and to see what's going to happen next.
Absolutely.
So I'm excited to see where Locality goes and all the great things for Locality.
Thank you.
And you know, like, where will you be next year, December?
Mm, yes.
And so you're on my one to watch list just to see, you know, so I can be like, wow, that was only her second pop-up shop when she was at the Black Girl pop-up shop.
Yes.
And then now look.
Now she's done 10.
Right. Or now she's on TV. Or now she, and there's a, one of my
future
guests.
That's right. Speak that.
Well, one of my future guests started that way. She did a pop-up shop. Mm-hmm. And within a year, she's been on, like, mornings and kicking it with Kenny, and she's got products, and she's, you know, working with all these amazing people, and I'm just like, wow, I remember you when,
right?
And which I didn't know till book club, she the product she came with, she had a variety of products, like you came with the sugar scrubs and the t-shirts and what have you. The product she came intending to sell is not what the product she sells.
Oh, wow.
So she came and we were talking, she says, I came to sell artwork. I said, no way. I said, I thought you were selling the chocolate sauce. Everyone knows her for the chocolate sauce.
Okay.
No one knew that she came for the artwork.
Wow.
I didn't know. Because once people tried the chocolate sauce, that was it.
Right.
And so now she's on, like, morning, let's make with this chocolate sauce. Let's do this with the chocolate sauce. Have a chocolate martini.
Right.
And all because of that. So every time I see her on TV, I'm just kind of like, wow, I remember you and the day I met you. And
it's because she tried.
Right.
She went for it, and that's what it's about, just going for it.
Yep, and failure's not fearful.
Right.
You can always get back up.
Right.
So thank you. I am not going to hold you any more of your time. You gotta go back and do locality things.
Yes.
And we will check everybody else back next week. So take care, guys.
Right.
Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of Black Girl in CLE, the podcast. Please check us out online at www.blackgirlincle.com and like and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Black Girl INCLE. Talk to you next time.